Welcome back, everybody, to the EnviroParent Podcast. This is your place for tips, tricks, resources, and stories about remote learning over the next 5 weeks. My name is Mark Slotman. Again, I'm really glad that you're here today. I think this is going to be a great podcast for everybody to tune into. Thursdays is normally going to be a day that we take questions and answers, and we do a deep dive into all the questions that you guys have sent in. I'll be 100% honest, I didn't get a ton of questions this week. I think there's still just kind of a little bit of either a honeymoon phase, everything's going pretty good right now, or you're still getting to the point of formulating those questions. So no big deal, I'm not going to take it personal, but this did give us a really awesome chance to be able to interview both of our principals at West Michigan Academy of Environmental Science. So we are going to connect to a Zoom interview that I did with both Carrie and Alan earlier today, and they're going to share some really good insight into kind of what they're doing at home and give you some ideas of what's been working with their kids, because both of them have kids at home that they're trying to do their full-time job of being principals and leading the school and working through kind of the craziness that is going on the administration and governmental side of everything that's going on in education right now, and be able to be a parent and be able to teach at home. So it's just a really awesome time that we get to spend together. So I hope you are able to take something out of it and enjoy it as much as I did today. All right, well, welcome. We have both of our principals here today. I'm super excited they get to hang out with us and be able to kind of share what's going on at their house. And we're going to talk about some topics that one we've already talked about in our podcast, and a little bit extra here. So Carrie, Alan, welcome. And how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Doing great, Mr. Slotman. Big fan.
Oh, I'm glad. I told you guys this before. It's a little nerve-wracking doing this. I'm used to standing up in front of, like, little kids that come up to, like, my waist and maybe my armpit at most. And now I'm, like, talking to their parents. And it's a little bit more nerve-wracking to do this. So thanks for letting me do this. And I think a really cool way to start this off would just be to, I'd love for you guys to just share about what's going on in your lives, in your houses, and how are things going, because you guys both have kids and doing this remote learning thing too. So who wants to go first?
I can.
Sweet.
So for me, when school closure happened, you know, I thought it was going to be kind of like a snow day, right? Like, we were going to get some things done, we were going to have some fun, kind of balance it out. But then when we found out the timeline and that school was going to be closed for the remainder of the year, that definitely changed my, I guess, view of work-life balance and getting things done in the Barrett household. And so my role as principal at West Michigan is to make sure I'm setting up the framework for teachers to be successful. So when we got news that we were going to have to do this continuous learning plan, myself and the WMAS admin team went in full gear to start planning. And so the last few weeks has definitely been busy for us as admin team, and so therefore in my household. My husband is not working at home. He is working at his job as well. So I'm a working mom, but I have two great kids that follow my directions most of the time. And so it's really good. And I think it's just been really great just to have those upfront conversations and setting the expectation for the day with them that, you know, mom's working and I'm going to be on these types of calls and this is what I need from you. So, yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Nice. Yeah, Alan, how's things been going in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, the Bosker family, we're doing well. My wife, she is working from home, so now I have basically an office mate. And then three kids, two are in school and one is two, and he decided that he learns how to be the terrible twos. So we've been hearing the word no a lot on redirecting that. There's been numerous phone calls that you can hear, like, the screaming of no in the background. I mean, I try to assure him everything's fine, but man, it's a change. And I think that's been like our comment has been to get to a new normal. And even though we're saying it, it like feeling it is just different. And it's different for families, everybody. Everybody is just having to experience something that they've never been doing before. And especially as a leadership side of the school, is we can't fall back on, oh, well, we've done this before, or here's a creative idea. This is all brand new territory for everybody. And so to really dig into that and to try to think through every different perspective and every different element of these decisions that we're making and the ramifications that they're going to have, potentially could have, it's draining for everybody. So it's really exciting to actually start working on this project, because we've been missing the kids, and so to have connections with them, it's the bright side of our day.
Nice. Awesome. Well, this past podcast, we put it out on Monday, we talked about schedules, and we tried to talk about how flexible schedules can be, and we really encouraged everybody to set up a schedule, no matter what it looked like, no matter how simple or complex it was. Have you guys set up any schedules, and kind of what do they look like? Maybe Alan, since you went last time, you could jump in first this time.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife works a 7-to-5 job. So from 7 to 5, she's on it. And so we kind of have to do the parenting zone defense, if you're a basketball fan. So wherever the kids are, we kind of help watch those things. And obviously my job is different. You know, it's whenever our team can get together, it's helping out with our food service. It's making the packets, it's delivering Chromebooks, however that looks. And so it's been all over the place for me. But for our kids, we've been trying to be consistent as possible. And so just for our technology that we have, the access that we have, our kids do all their homework doing work from home. At night, it takes, my daughter's in third grade, so she's about 45 minutes of homework every night. And it usually takes, after a few reminders, probably takes her an hour. But we try to do most of our schoolwork at night, but that comes the exhaustion element and the being tired from the day. So it's been a challenge, but most of our, we're still getting in the system of a schedule, to be honest with you.
I'm sure as soon as that last kid goes to bed, it's like just sit down and binge watch Netflix for a little bit.
That's been our go-to. Yeah.
Nice. Carrie, how's your schedule been at home?
Yeah. So, like I kind of said before, my husband goes to work every day out of the house, and so I think that, you know, for us, that kind of keeps a quote unquote normal schedule in terms of what weekdays are, what weekends are. Dad's home on weekends, dad's gone during the day on weekdays. So I kind of find that fortunate for us, just to keep that schedule. But for me, I find time in between calls and such to do work with the kiddos, because of my busy schedule in terms of supporting the staff at West Michigan. It needs to be flexible. So my kids have to be flexible, but I've set them up for that for a while now in their lives. And so we find time sometime in the morning or the afternoon that fits in to get their work done. One thing I realized as an educator working mom is just to have patience. And if they're not, you know, doing their best, just those encouraging words really help them too. They have a principal as a mom, right? So that's kind of a
no pressure situation.
So there's a couple like gifts and memes out there around having principals as parents right now, which are teacher as parents too. But I think the biggest thing for me as a parent is just, you know, holding those expectations for them, letting them know the why and why they're doing this work. One of my children would just love to kind of skate by, and I hold him accountable, and understanding that he needs to know the why and what he has to do. So yeah, we get ours done when we can, and sometimes, and I want parents to know this, it's okay if you could do 20 minutes here, and then, oh, I didn't get to the rest of it, it's after dinner, I'm gonna finish up that other 20 minutes, and that's totally okay. The other thing that I've learned, and I have to continue to tell myself, is to give myself patience and to give my kids patience, because they're learning, you know, I'm teaching them new material for this time right now that they haven't necessarily got, and I need to teach it to them. So I need to be focused on it too. So, but then sometimes I don't have the time, and so I have to just wait until the end of the day, like Alan does, or revisit it with them the next day. So, just to be patient with them too has really been important, and set that up and expectations and be responsive. So they, just yesterday they had a really tough day in terms of behavior. So I responded with, you know, a checklist today because they really need that structure today. That's what their behavior was telling me. So we responded with that today, you know, and just kind of seeing what they need and being responsive to that. But being flexible on the schedule is totally great, and it's fine.
Yeah, I feel like that honeymoon phase is kind of over. I think we talk about that a lot at school. Like, we have those first, like, 3-4 weeks of school that everything's kind of running smooth and everybody's super excited to be back. And then week 5, 6, 7 hits, and it's like, oh, okay, we got to kick it into another gear here. I feel like I'm at that point, too, where it's just like, well, we got to try some different tactics here. So we talked about there are going to be times that whether our schedule, we just fail at hitting that schedule that we did, or maybe even like our kids are working on something and they bring it back and it's just totally wrong. So it's technically like a failure, but those failures are opportunities to learn. I try to tell my kids that, well, my kids and the kids in class that all the time, like, if you miss the target, you just learned something. You learned, you got to aim the other way. So are there any fails that you guys have had at home that you've learned from?
Yeah, for me, thinking that a 5-year-old can sit down and get her work done independently while I'm on a Zoom call, expect it to be done when I get out there, that was a failure on my part. Right, you set high expectations, wanting them to meet it, but I don't think that was realistic. And so kind of one of my failures as an at-home teacher has been, you know, their independent stamina. It's something they need to work up, obviously, but being 5 and 8, they need to have that guidance and that support through instruction. I want them to be independent learners eventually, and my son, who's 8, is getting there. But just knowing that I have to, you know, support that independent learning and set them up for success and guide them has been important for me. So
nice. I'd say my biggest failure, and this is being 100% honest with you, I've done Google Classroom from the administrator side, but I've never done it from the student side. And so my daughter jumps in and she's like, oh, that's what you have to do. And I'm like, no. Like, let me show you. And it took me about, I don't know, 30 seconds to find out that she knows 100 times more about the program than I do. And so I guess it's I'm having to sit back and let her learn, I guess learn it, but show me the process of how she learns. And it's incredible to see the capacity that she has that I just never grew up with. Yeah, Google Classroom, holy cow.
Yeah, I think we're all experiencing that to some point. Even my my first grader is like, no, Dad, you need to do this. And I'm like, oh, sorry, my bad. I thought I had this down. So talking about your own kids a little bit more and the learning process that you guys are going with and teaching them at home, but also you guys have a life outside of, well, you have work that you're working on, obviously, but you also have just life. Like being able to have free time, go outside, play games, you know, you have the weekend and stuff. What advice would you give to parents in trying to balance their kids' academic success and workload with this new normal needs of the day and the week, and making sure that the kids don't go crazy and that parents don't go crazy? Because I feel like even me, like I've teetered on that, like I'm going to pull my hair out type of a situation before. So do you guys have any advice about that from what you guys are doing at home, or even just things that you've thought of that could help us out?
Yeah, for me, this is one that I'm constantly working on as a busy working mom and with young kids, is being present, right? And being okay with that. And so putting the phone down. For me, you know, especially working at home, I think I work a little bit later than I normally do, just because I'm here and, you know, I'm in a project and I'll continue to kind of finish it and work it out. But I've found one success for me has been literally moving the phone. So my cell phone will go upstairs and go on the charger because it probably needs to be charged because I've used it all day, and just keeping it up there and only going to get it if, you know, with after an hour or got a little break or something, or I know I'm expecting a call or something like that. So putting the phone away has really helped me be present with my kids and just in my house and just to kind of, you know, get away from it for a little while. That being, you know, social media, the news, work, whatever. So literally putting the technology away and being present, I think, has been my biggest working toward being successful at, but it feels good when I do it.
Was it hard to start that? Did you feel like you always had to go?
Yes.
Like, I feel like I would always want to, like, check things all the time.
Yes, that's why it's physically upstairs. So at least I get some exercise when I go to get it.
So like every 5 minutes you're going up and down the stairs?
I get a lot of stairs, but no. Yeah, but at least it's just away, because if it's just on the counter or something, it's there and you see it, or you'll check it, and then you get sucked into an email or a text or a social media post or, you know, whichever. So
yeah, I get sucked in.
Away, it's good.
I get sucked in because I wear my Apple Watch around and I can leave my phone anywhere then, and then I still get the notification. So it's always in the back of my mind. So maybe I'll have to leave that upstairs too.
That's why I haven't gotten one yet.
Oh, man.
I think it'll be a lot easier, but I think a smartwatch for me would not be good.
It's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, how about you, Alan? Do you have any advice for kind of that life academic balance at home?
I think you guys nailed it, is the separation. When we go outside, we do outside time, kind of outdoor time, at least twice a day for about half an hour, 45 minutes. And when we're out there, everything kind of just, it's that feeling like you're in the environment, like it's separation from everything. So we've been playing baseball, we've been riding bikes, and it's really hard riding bikes to check emails and check I think not safely, exactly. I have a hard enough time riding a bike. I would say, I'd say, like, that separation and, like, being engaged with the kids, like, playing baseball, like, it's so rewarding for them. And I mean, think about this, like, how often does this happen? Like, it's never happened before. Like, I've never had this much time with the kids, and yes, that's usually how I start complaining things, about things, but realistically, like, this is something that's unique, and if we can get this time with the kids and family, I think that's huge. It makes me prioritize the time that I have and how can I utilize it better.
Awesome. So to kind of wrap this up, what are some tips or tricks, or could you share anything that has worked well for you guys that you just would love to pass on? And just as a reminder to everybody listening, when we pass this stuff on, we're not like saying that we're experts at this. We're just saying it worked for us maybe once. And so if it works for you once, then awesome. If it works for you day in and day out, that's even better. And if it doesn't work, you know, not a big deal. So do you guys have any like thing that has worked really well that you think would work well for our parents? Don't jump in at the same time now. Easy.
I think a couple things for me is that, one, if you have younger kids, especially in elementary and lower elementary, just know they can't do it all on their own. So just set that time aside to be able to support them, whatever time that is, early morning, midday, evening, weekends, whatever. The West Michigan team is flexible with their assignments and deadlines and all that for that reason, because we want to allow our parents to be able to do the work when it fits in their schedule. So, do that work when you can. And just to set those expectations with your kiddos, that's something that I failed at sometimes, is if I'm going on a call and I didn't set that behavior expectations with them, then they don't know what to do, right? So being very clear about behavior expectations with your kids, and if they don't meet them, having that conversation afterwards, I think really is important. And following up the next time and as the adult doing a little better, and that's what I keep trying to do too. So just being flexible and doing the work when you can and reaching out for help when you need it. So we at West Michigan have a lot of resources to ask for help with, and some people might be overwhelmed by that, be like, who do I call when? Always go to your child's teacher first, right? But we want to make sure, and it comes from my own experience during this, all of this, is that I want all of our families to have someone that they can reach out to if they have a question about anything. So we have set up a lot of different supports for that reason. So I apologize anyway that's overwhelmed by all the different supports that you have, but I'd rather have you feel over-supported than not have someone to reach out to.
All right, so I might take this down a rabbit hole, but I hope it's not a very far rabbit hole. But you mentioned setting up expectations and holding the kids kind of accountable to that. I think we as teachers are really used to that kind of terminology and language and doing that on a super fast, super quick level all the time. What's worked well for you with, like, I'm going to use the discipline word at home to try to help keep kids or your kids kind of in line? Because I think that would help a lot of, I've seen it too. Like, I need to keep my kids disciplined and administer discipline when needed during this time. Mm-hmm. So have you had anything that's worked really well for you?
Oh yeah. Expectations for me is, for us, it's as parents, is being clear. And so being clear with the expectations, you might, and I think about this as a leader of the school and as a parent all the time, right? I might say it, but did they hear it?
Yeah.
It's just a natural thing for me, and it really works, is I have this, I almost said the students, my kids, repeat.
They are students. They're students.
They are. And so what I do is I have them repeat it. So just before I came in here, I said, you guys, I'm on an important call that my mic needs to be quiet. So what, I need you to be quiet. What's my expectation of you? And they'll say, we got to be quiet. And then I'll give a couple examples, just like our teachers do in classroom. Like, can you run office doors? No. Can you work quietly at the table with coloring? Yes. So I gave different examples, and literally this is the conversation we just had before this conversation. So, you know, and then if I don't, what happens? Oh, I, you know, we had different things set up, different days to keep it, I don't know, a little bit with them guessing, but screen time is the biggest thing in the Barrett household that is lost if expectations are not met. So that is a motivating factor, and screen time will be taken if expectations aren't followed. Yeah.
Nice. Dessert is our point, our pressure point for our kids. If they lose dessert, that ice cream with chocolate sauce on top, man, we can even threaten the no chocolate sauce. And sometimes it's just like the world is coming down.
Slavin House is harsh. No chocolate sauce
for you tonight. You can still have the ice cream. It's delicious, but no chocolate sauce. Oh, goodness. All right, so thanks for going down that rabbit hole. I appreciate that.
Of course.
Alan, do you have any tips or tricks that you have worked for you that you think our parents could really help, or it could really help our parents with?
I don't know if it's a tip or a trick, but we've really enjoyed finding opportunities to teach while doing normal things. My daughter has been baking, and so doing all the ingredients and just incorporating that. Just the conversation. I'm not teaching her anything. And honestly, I eat cake afterwards, so it's perfect.
Yes.
But even like changing our air filter, you know, I had my son come down with me, and he doesn't know how to change it, but we explained how the air moves through the house. And just explanations of like that, you tie in the science. I mean, we're not teaching standards. We're teaching like literally like common sense skills. But it's all stuff that they don't know. So it's just an opportunity for them to learn that stuff. So we just try to find as many opportunities as we can to engage those conversations.
Nice. And just so you know, the CDC did say that this is very unlikely that the coronavirus is untransferable through food. So you can look up my address and drop any baked goods off anytime. Okay.
Well, when you have successes, you also have failures. We had muffins that didn't end up being solid and about blew up my house. So
wow.
When those are finished, I'll bring them over.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know where I live. I take donations. It's totally fine. So, well, thank you guys so much for taking time to hang out with us and just kind of check in with everybody. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else appreciates it. So keep up the good work. You guys are doing awesome. We really appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks, Mr. Slotman.
Thanks for doing this podcast, Mr. Slotman. Appreciate it.
No problem. It's fun and scary all at the same time. So
it's all learning, right?
Yes,
learning
absolutely. Curve. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that concludes our short interview with Principal Barrett and Principal Bosker. I hope you guys were able to take some little nuggets out of there and to be able to kind of hear what they're going through this whole thing too. On Monday, we're going to be back with another podcast. We're going to be focusing on the topic of motivation. How do we motivate our students during this time to be able to give their best and to do their best, even when they may not want to, especially during this time when they're at home, and that can be hard. So I could get into it right now, but I'm not going to. I'm really excited to have you guys here and listening to this one today, and we'll be back on Monday. But until then, continue to send your questions to slotmark@wma-es.com, and keep staying Enviro Strong.